Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Think of a time in your life when you were truly in fear. Perhaps you just lost your job or were on the verge of bankruptcy. Or maybe it was one of those times when everything seemed like it was moving in slow motion, like being in a car accident or receiving a life-threatening diagnosis or losing someone who was very close to you. Sadly, many police officers and military personnel know all too well the raw terror of life and death situations. And in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus' disciples were truly in fear. Jesus had spent the entire day preaching and teaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee from the back of a boat. And after a long, exhausting day, Jesus decides he's going to take a break away from all the people and tells his disciples that they're going to cross over to the other side of the sea. Well, the Sea of Galilee, due to its size, its depth, and geographic location, is very susceptible to sudden and violent storms. And as Jesus and his disciples were crossing the sea, a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Now, we do remember some of the disciples are fishermen, and they'd certainly faced vicious storms out on the Sea of Galilee many times before. But perhaps their fear in our text should tell us something about the magnitude of this particular storm. It's the middle of the night, it's dark, this boat is filling up with water, and it certainly doesn't look good. They don't know whether they're going to survive or whether they're going to drown in the bottom of the sea. And they're doing everything they can think of to save themselves. And then suddenly they remember, oh, we got a guy asleep back there in the stern. It's the Son of God, exhausted from a long day's work, asleep in the stern of the boat. And despite all the wind and the waves and obviously the water sloshing in the boat filling up, Jesus sleeps peacefully, undisturbed, without fear, trusting completely in his Father's care. Well, the disciples don't exactly see it that way. And they know that Jesus is not a sailor, but the boat is sinking, and they need all hands on deck. And sure, they've witnessed Jesus heal the sick and the lame and the blind, and he's cast out many demons. They knew him to be a great teacher and this miracle-working thing on the side, but apparently they didn't see him to be the one who would have power over the wind and the waves. They only wake him out of selfishness, fearful selfishness. They wake him and accuse him of being indifferent to the situation they're in. It's life and death situation. And they say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Perhaps at the very least, could you get up and start bailing water out of the boat? Or maybe grab a hold of the rudder to keep the boat pointed into the wind. You know what these times are like in your life when everything is spinning out of control and you are truly in fear. When your relationships are in danger of breaking and you're so anxious that you go on the attack rather than prayerfully seeking a way to bond together. When you're afraid of illness, suffering, and death, many times you turn on those who wish to help you and comfort you, even though they're doing their very best. Still, you pour out your frustrations on family, friends, medical personnel, sometimes even to the point of resenting those who are not in your situation. Or perhaps you lash out at God because it seems like God is asleep in the back of the boat. God, do you not care about my situation? Don't you know what I'm going through? What about that promise? Never leave me, never forsake me. Why are you letting me suffer like this? Or even worse yet, perhaps you've fallen for the devil's lie that God is punishing you for your past sins. You're getting exactly what you deserve. It's karma, isn't it? Well, that's what Job's friends tried to convince him of in his Old Testament book. Scripture depicts Job as a man of nearly perfect moral character. He feared God and turned away from evil. Yet, in God's hidden wisdom, he allows the devil to afflict Job. He afflicts him with every manner of extreme suffering and pain. And to Job's friends, well, it's obvious why you're going through this, Job. You've sinned. Why else would you be suffering? At the center of your struggle and mine, when we are suffering, there is a lack of faith and trust in God. We can see that easily with the disciples in the storm. And the book of Job teaches us what the role of suffering is in the life of the Christian, in the life of the believer. These trials and tribulations and suffering cause the believer to deny himself. You have nothing else left. Look to the cross of Christ and cling to his promises. Cling to Jesus for salvation. Everyone, even someone as upright and just as Job, will indeed face horrible suffering and struggle to understand, why does God let it happen to me? Now, to be sure, sometimes your suffering is self-inflicted because you've made poor life decisions. At other times, these afflictions are from the devil, tempting you to doubt God and his promises. In other times, God, in his hidden wisdom, is allowing you to be tested, to draw you nearer to him and trust in him alone for salvation. In our text, Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus wakes up at complete peace. He knows who's in control of the boat. He hasn't a worry in the world, just as he is confident and in control of every time things seem to be out of control in your life. He says, "Peace, be still," to you, because he is in control of your every crisis. God's word always does what it says. It never returns void. And in our text, Jesus speaks three words. In the original language, it's only two. But he rebukes the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." The creative word creates perfect peace and great calm. God allowed a great storm on the sea so that Jesus could reveal that he is much more than a man with a side gig of doing miracles. He's none other than the incarnate God, God wrapped in the flesh of man, entering his creation. He is the Lord of the wind and the waves. He is Lord of all creation. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" As I said earlier, at the center of the disciples' fear on the Sea of Galilee, at the center of your fear and mine, it is a lack of faith and trust in God. And in our text, once Jesus reveals his identity of Lord of creation, the disciples face a totally different kind of fear. They were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, of course, they're filled with fear. They just rebuked the Son of God. They accused him of not caring if they perished. And in return, he demonstrated who he was, the one who has the power over the wind and the waves and all of creation. They were filled with great fear, but this fear is different. It's not the fear of suffering and dying. The danger is past. The sea is calm. The wind had ceased. They were filled with great fear and awe and wonder and reverence that weak mortals feel when they're in the presence of the immortal God, when they're in the presence of his divine power. They rebuked Jesus. He, in turn, saved them. They deserved his punishment for their lack of faith, just as you and I deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. Jesus had mercy on them, just as he has mercy on you and all who believe. Dear disciple, in your boat, out on your stormy sea, Christ is the Lord of all. He is your Lord and Savior, and one who is to be feared, not the fear of punishment or the fear that you might perish, but in the fear, love, and trust in the one who first loved you and came to earth to save you. All the way long back before God laid the foundations of the world, he saw you floundering in the sea of sin and unbelief. And while you were still his enemy, he died for you. He loved you so much that he sent his son to Calvary's cross to suffer, bleed, and die, to make peace between you and God, reconciling you back with the Father. He forgives you all of your sins of blaming family members and lashing out in frustration at family, friends, and doctors, and everyone in between. Even the sin of resenting others who aren't suffering as you do. He even forgives you for lashing out at him during your suffering and weakness in faith. You see, our God is not an angry God that holds you in fear of condemnation. Jesus says that he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The danger is past. The wind has ceased. The sea is calm. Jesus was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought you peace. And with his wounds, you are healed. Jesus says to you, peace, be still. For in his death and resurrection, he has rescued you from the threatening seas of sin, death, and the grave. And he will never leave you nor forsake you when you face danger and illness and even face death. Now, if you haven't been listening so far, please catch this tidbit here. The point of our text is not that Jesus is going to protect you and rescue you from every piece of suffering in this life. He's not going to protect you from every bit of mortal danger. But the point of this text is, in the storms of life, Jesus is Lord of all creation and the one who came to save you. By trusting in him, you'll never perish. In God's hidden wisdom, he allows his beloved children to face the storms of life, afflictions and sufferings, so that you flee from the trust in self and all of your false idols that you've built up around you, and cling to the Lord of creation and hope in him, trusting in him for your salvation. He's already gone through all of your trials and tribulations and your suffering, even your most harsh and vicious death. So when that day comes when our Lord wills that you breathe your last on this side of heaven and you die in peace because you die with the assurance of Jesus' word of peace. He is the Lord of creation and he alone saves. The fear of death and the grave is past. It's been swallowed up in Christ's victory. It's a sad day for those who are left, but it's a great day for you because you can die with a great calm, completely trusting in your Heavenly Father's care, knowing that you are not perishing, that is, coming into his judgment, but merely passing through death into eternal life. Jesus is Lord of creation, and he alone saves. By his perfect life, death, and resurrection, he has made peace between you and the Father. And he comes to you every week right here in the divine service to speak his peace on you. He speaks his peace in remembrance of your baptism and the invocation. He speaks his peace of forgiveness of sins in his holy absolution. His peace is coming to you in his living and active word in the preaching of the gospel. And his peace is for you in his holy body and his precious blood, given and shed on the cross of Calvary for you. You see, when Jesus speaks peace, you know you have nothing to fear because he is the one who went to the cross to save you. He is the Lord of creation. He alone saves, and he is in control over all of nature and over your eternal welfare. And he has spoken his word of peace that declares you not guilty of your sin, because of his work of salvation on your behalf. God grant that you joyfully serve him in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.